Today on Real Radio.
But Jesus warned us and he said, false Christ and false prophets would come. I'm comforted though by Matthew 24:24, where it says that they're going to deceive people and if it were possible, even the elect. Did you get that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. We're in a series that takes a very close look at verses 18 through 20 of the second chapter, where John uses the terms Antichrist and Antichrists. Now, there will certainly be an Antichrist, but the same apostle John himself also warns that there will also be many Antichrists. Not only does John declare this, but Jesus himself said it, like in Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21, and a bunch of other passages. Our teacher points this out as he continues in his mini-series called Who is Antichrist? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Now, notice that the title is not who is the Antichrist, but who is Antichrist? Because a person can be Antichrist without being the Antichrist. And tonight we enter into part three of this in-depth study, and tonight we will consider the remaining eight considerations or views that we're looking at regarding both the spirit of the Antichrist, which John tells us is permeating the world, but also characteristics and personalities of the Antichrist himself, the man. So we've looked at, are we going to look at 10 of them? We looked at two of them earlier on. We'll touch on those in a moment. But if you would, jot this down, and that is the very important thing that we need to consider is that Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew 24, verse 24, he said, for false Christ and false prophets will arise, not if, they will arise, and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, that is a verse specifically in regards to the tribulation age, but it has, as we saw last week, a crescendo effect. The days are going to get more evil. There are going to be more false prophets. We saw this in the very Greek construction of the New Testament. The days are going to wax worse. They're going to get more evil. There's going to be more lunatics come out of the woodwork in the last days claiming to be Christ and claiming to be prophets of God. But Jesus warned us, and he said, false Christ and false prophets would come. I'm comforted, though, by Matthew 24:24, where it says that they're going to deceive people, and if it were possible, even the elect. Did you get that? What does that mean if you know some English and logic? That's right. It's impossible to deceive the elect. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll look at that next week as we go into verses 19 and 20 and onward in this study, because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And because that's true, when we hear the word of God or when we hear error, immediately the alarm goes off. And Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Also this, we saw last time in our study of this particular title, who is Antichrist, we saw that we're living at a time of the end. We see this now and we looked at that in depth. We're living at the time of the end. There's no doubt about that. I had a wonderful time yesterday driving with somebody and discussing end time things. And the excitement about the fact that we're talking about temples, we're talking about priests in Jerusalem learning again the order of priestly sacrifices. My friends, if we would have told Harry Ironside this or some of the other prophetic teachers of yesteryear, they would have flipped. They would have given anything to live in our time frame where you and I live. We know by what's happening around us that we're living in the last times. Also, we saw that the days are racing toward evil. There is more and more evil advancing. I mean, do I need to tell you about this for crying out loud? I mean, look at the stuff that's going on. It's absolutely nuts. It's crazy. I never thought that I would ever seem like a prudish type of a person. You know, I was kind of with it. But now, not only am I not with it, I don't want to be near it because I'm afraid I might step in it. I mean, the stuff that's on TV, the things. And then tonight, I was listening on a World News Network from London that these people who were killed in Italy on these extreme adventures, you know, now they're thinking about shutting them down. And they're interviewing people tonight. Why are people signing up for extreme adventures? Well, they said people are bored with living. People are bored with life. They've had everything handed to them. They've done everything. People are more affluent in the world. They've experienced more by a younger age. And now in the yuppie realm, people are fed up. They've made their money. They're tired. And they're going out with extreme adventures. And as it happened yesterday, some 19 of them were killed in this horrible tragedy there in Italy and or Germany. And the thing is that when talked to these companies that put this out, when the news agencies talked to them, they said people are bored with life and they're going to the extreme to get the adrenaline rush. This man said, from Germany, from Berlin, he said, people are hooked on the adrenaline rush these days. Well, if you want to be hooked on an adrenaline rush, why don't you sign up to be a Christian, a real one? Because my friend, I don't think there's anything more exciting than being a real Christian. Why? Because we're living in evil days. And it's going to take a Christian man and a Christian woman to stand up against the tide of evil. Also, we saw that there's a real need to be alert against the imposters. There are antichrists in the world. There are false prophets in the world. There's cults. You know, false prophets bore or gave birth or brought into being the cults that are permeating the world today. And we saw also that we are, in an interesting way, encouraged by their arrival. I know that sounds weird, but the very presence of the cults and by false prophets being on the scene encourages us that we are in the last days. I'm going to give you a quote from Walter Martin, which I have loved over the years, and I adore it. And it goes something like this. Walter Martin said that it's a good thing in these last days that the cults have been formed. That kind of got my ear. He went on to say, because there is this propensity inside the human heart to have religion, not necessarily the biblical Christ. So what people who want religion do is that they form a cult. And Walter Martin says, be grateful, because if they weren't in their cult, they'd be sitting next to you at church. And that's a very, very interesting thought. Because of that, he said they would be in amongst us, because we'll see this more next week. They left us, John's going to tell us, Walter Martin tells us, they left us so that they might be manifested. Well, if they didn't have a place to go, where would they be? They'd be right here next to you and me. We live in a day where the evils of false prophets and false messiahs are escalating. And in addition, we saw this. What is it to be Antichrist? That was our last study together. And we considered this. It was to deny Jesus Christ. Remember that. It was to demean or to lower the fact that he is Christ, that he's Messiah, that he is God. And to take that down is to deny Christ. In fact, to be operating in the area of what it is to be Antichrist. You're trafficking in that realm if you're putting down Christ. Secondly, we looked at a life that is opposing to Scripture. What is it to be Antichrist? It is to be a living a life in this time opposing Scripture. Is there anything in your life, in my life, that is against Scripture? We need to be very quick and careful to repent of it right away. But if you know, or if you are listening right now, or you're thinking as you're going through this message, hey, I am one who's fighting against Scripture. I just fight against Scripture. I have my independent spirit. Well, brother, you better check to see whether you're in the faith or not, because you might be an imposter, and you might be one who is actually acting in the spirit of Antichrist because you're living a life in opposition to Scripture. The third thing that we saw is that there's a tendency to promote false doctrine. When you are operating of or under the spirit of Antichrist in the world, you will be drawn to false doctrine. You will have strange considerations regarding Scripture. You're going to look at it weird. You're not going to have a biblical-based interpretation of Scripture. And what that means is you're going to be interpreting it on your own rather than letting the Bible interpret it as the Scripture demands us. The Scripture says that no portion of Scripture has been given for private interpretation. You know, somebody can't read the Bible and say, well, this is how I interpret it. Oh, we can't do that. The Bible has to judge Bible. And that's how we come out with clean and clear doctrine. We saw also in our time together, what is the spirit of Antichrist? And quickly, it's a mindset, it's a will that occupies a heart. It's dangerous. Also, it's a rebelliousness against God. What is the spirit of Antichrist? It is a rebelliousness against God. Also, it holds to a liberal view of Scripture. Remember, we touched on that. Very liberal view of Scripture. So tonight, let's get into it. We're looking at the third consideration tonight out of the 10, and that is, who is Antichrist? Under that title, we see number 3 tonight, and that is deception of the Antichrist. The deception of the Antichrist. The first thing we see here is that the Antichrist and that spirit of Antichrist is to lead humanity away from God. Very, very sly, very, very subtle, but very, very powerful. Listen, he says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that that is the person, Antichrist, is coming, even now, many Antichrists, that is whom we're talking about now, have gone out into the world. He says, by which we know that it is the last hour. So we know that there's a deception that's also involved with this work of the Antichrist and that spirit to lead people away from God, to muddy up the waters. Now listen, we touched on last time that the spirit of Antichrist floods the religious market with other options. You know this one immediately. In fact, maybe it's so common you didn't think about it. People will say, well, there's many ways to God. Now, let's be really specific about that. There are many ways to God. Did you know that? There are many ways to God. How many? Oh, I don't know. How many people live on earth right now? Close to 6 billion now, aren't we? We're getting close to 6 billion people? Well, the fact of the matter is that there are theoretically about 6 billion ways to God. But there's only one way to heaven. There's a big difference. You see, the Bible says every man, every woman will stand before God in the end. So, when somebody says, well, there are many ways to God, that's true. There are many ways to God. But do you want to go to heaven? Oh, yeah, sure. Well, there's only one way. There's only one way. An aberrant doctrine, and listen, strange activities under the spiritual guise can lead humanity away from God. And it more often than not, it's draped in religiosity. Why? Satan knows that inside the fallen human nature is this drive for religion. It's in every culture. It's in every culture. Everybody on the face of the globe has a religious principle that they live by, even if they're atheists. Their atheism is their religion. To have a religion is to have a practice, a creed, a compass of lifestyle. This is why I do what I do. And when the spirit of Antichrist comes into the world or comes into a place or comes into your mind, it will lead you away from God. I have had wonderful friends who early on in our Christian experience, we were growing together, we went to camps together, we just fellowshiped, we did ministry together, we witnessed on the beach with people together. I mean, we were just bread and butter. And I'll never forget one of the strongest guys in our little, you know, spiritual group said, I'm not going to go into ministry, I'm going to go to college, going to go to Long Beach State, I'm going to become a great architect. And we said, well, that's great. And, you know, we gave him a high five and everything and sent him on his way. Well, it's funny because the first week, the second week, the third week, he didn't come to Bible study on Monday night. Well, where have you been? Oh, I've been so busy. Well, with what? With school. Now, there's nothing wrong with school. In fact, Christians should be the best students. But when anything, even as benign as school or study, gets in the way and puts God second, third, fourth, that is even an attack against our growth. And I'm not saying that you've fallen under the captivity of the spirit of Antichrist. What I am saying is he will use anything, listen, even a good thing, to get you away from your time with God. And that's very important, no matter what it is. Remember, and I brought this up recently, remember with the children of Israel, when all the serpents came out and they began to sting the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, and they were dying, and Moses there had a bronze or brazen serpent made. And they put it up on a pole, and the announcement was made, look to the serpent and be healed. Listen, what does brass speak about in Scripture? Judgment. A serpent. Serpent speaks of sin or Satan. The serpent raised up on this pole. Look to it, and you'll see its, so to speak, typological judgment, and you'll be made whole. Well, the stupid thing is, not everybody looked. Can you imagine? Just look, Dad. No, I'm not going to look. Oh my gosh, this hurts so bad. I think I'm going to die. Look to the serpent. No, I'm not going to look. Doesn't that just frustrate you to no end? Mom, Dad, just look to Jesus. Just look to Christ. Son, daughter, look to Christ. No, I'm not going to look. Oh, I'm dying. Oh, it hurts so bad. My life is so messed up. Look to Jesus. I'm not going to look to Jesus. Makes you want to take that serpent down off the pole and kind of beat him with it, huh? Strange. Why? Things lead us astray. We have to be careful. Because in the book of Numbers, that very thing that meant healing to the people, and a few chapters later, they're bowing down and worshiping it and calling it their God. That was a good thing gone bad. And somebody might come back and say, well, you know, if God knew everything, why did he give them the serpent to get healed by? Oh, grow up. Listen, people need to be responsible for their activity. God says, this thing's presented for good. God didn't say, now worship it, bow down, and create an idol out of it. We take good things and make an idol out of it. Could be a job, could be a career, could be income, could be the stock market these days, could be a game, could be anything. We need to be very careful. The deception of the Antichrist will lead people astray, and that's something that we need to very, very much watch out for. The next thing that we need to realize is that it will lead humanity towards Satan. That's his goal. And that is the spirit, by the way, of Antichrist, is to lead people. Listen, to lead them away from God, that's certainly damage enough, but to lead them towards Satan. And nobody in this room would say, this is stupid. I'm not going to walk away here tonight, walk out of this place, and then just look for Satan to bow down to. Satan doesn't show his colors like you think. Can you agree with me that sometimes in our lives, some of the greatest, quote, opportunities or possibilities just didn't pan out? And then you hear why. God was protecting us. Oh, if you just buy this week, you know, they're all gone. This is the last one. There's a reason why it's the last one. And if God wants you to have it, it'd be there next week. Oh, come on, buddy. Listen, go over there and pray, and then come back, and then buy it. It's on sale this week. Hey, be careful. The deception and the leading away of humanity even towards Satan is something that's going to be subtle. Now, remember this. Satan hates your guts. He wants you better than dead. You know what better than dead is? To be alive and sterile as a Christian. That's best for Satan. If we're lukewarm, if we're carnal, if we're backslidden, we are better in the hands of Satan for his kingdom in advertisement and in effectiveness than we are for God. It'd be better for us, you know, if we didn't have a life to live in a backslidden state. But thank God, God brings us back home. But if Satan can get us off the course and broadcasting a message to the friends that we've been witnessing to, then that's like frosting on his cake. And this deception, he will use even in the life of a Christian. God's got your soul. Satan can't do anything about that. But he can sterilize you and I to keep us from being effective toward other people. He loves that. He loves that. He loves Christians who don't pray. Satan loves them. Why? Because they're being effective for him. Satan hates Christians who pray. Satan hates Christians who come to a Wednesday night Bible study. He hates you. He wants you absolutely messed up. Here's the battle in the cosmic realm. God loves you. He wants you forever in joy and happiness. Satan's ticked, and he knows his end, and he hates God. The only way he can get to God's heart is, how do you think? Is to get you and me. And if he gets you and me, who does he hurt? God. When you and I sin, even though we're children of God, when we sin, who do we hurt? God. People in an argument, people in a divorce situation, people in a company battle, people in whatever, Christian against Christian, tearing each other up. And as pastors, we run in there and blow the whistle, you know, stop! Has anyone in this room on the right-hand side or on the left-hand side thought about what these words are doing to Christ? And the answer is always the same. No, we haven't thought about it. Every word that comes out, you're slashing him in the wrist. You're stabbing him in the chest. You're punching him in the nose. Think about it. I've got my rights. Oh, I've got my rights. And Christ is in the middle getting shredded in half when two Christians go after each other. It's horrible. It's as though we bleed him again. It's terrible. Satan wants to lead us astray, and he'll do anything he can. Also, we see here that his will, his desire, his deception is to create an alternative kingdom. If Satan can create an alternative kingdom, that's why Jesus said, by the way, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Satan is excited about breeding and creating cults. Why? They're little kingdoms. And he is the little father, so to speak, over it all. Why? Because a cult is a lie. Who's the father of lies? Satan is. He loves that. And he wants to create alternative kingdoms. He does it sometimes in churches. He not only does it in cults, he does it sometimes in churches because he loves factions. He loves division to create an alternative kingdom. Again, of course, ultimately splitting the heart of Christ. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 says, again, the devil took Jesus up into exceedingly high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Why? I want to create an alternative kingdom. And in this kingdom that he has, he wants people to bow to him, even the Son of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, taking us through 1 John chapter 2 and verses 18 through 20. It's part of a mini-series that examines this and other passages that warn against false messiahs, false prophets, and anything that is exactly that, Antichrist. The title, Who is Antichrist? Who is Antichrist? Is actually a series within a series, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse collection of lessons through these three New Testament letters written by the Apostle John himself. We'll pick up where we left off in this series coming up on Monday, December 30th, but all next week, we're going to bring you Pastor Jack's Christmas series simply called Behold. You don't want to miss this Christ-centered series, which explores the glory of Messiah coming to earth. It's a great series. Don't miss it. Also, since we're nearing the close of 2013 and you may be looking for a place to send your year-end gift, remember that we're making available the book by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs called Turnaround at Home. We'll send you Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. It's all yours for your gift of any amount toward the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Call, click, or write, but do it as soon as you can. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit realradioactive.org to place your gift and request Turnaround at Home, the brand new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Or write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. Our telephone number again, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.